This time on episode 279 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Runaways, Season 1, Episode 9, Doomsday, weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a podcast about podcasting, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, April 21st, 2019, 4 days before Endgame, live before the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Come on and join our chat as we record. Ladies, happy National Kindergarten Day.
Don't know how to celebrate that, but it's also Easter weekend.
Happy Easter.
I saw a bunch of bunnies when we did our walk with the dog today.
Were they chocolate?
No, they were real.
Tesla on their Instagram had a couple of bunnies in the car and a dog with bunny ears, but on the dashboard, it's a giant iPad or whatever it is on the dashboard. It says, it's 71 degrees. My owner will be right here.
That's funny.
Is that legal to leave a pet in a car to have it monitored? Like, I don't know.
Well, I have seen signs where people are like, the air conditioner is on, the dog's listening to like some sort of music, he's fine, please don't break the window.
I still wonder about the legality, but I like the sentiment. And either way, take care of your pets, because they can't take care of themselves in a hot car. Especially in Arizona, right, Haley?
Yeah, it was only like 86 today, it's fine.
Only 86. That's a good day in Hawaii, but I mean, this is spring for y'all. It's going to get much hotter.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on with the show. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is now in the 49th hiatus week following the season 5 finale. Just a couple more weeks left. Woohoo! The multiple Marvel small screen series and the Marvel cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of finding old tech in the AV Club.
If you'd like to talk to us about what you found in the AV Club, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871.
You can visit our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can check out our videos on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And you can join our Discord server chat at GunnaGeek.com/Discord.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Our fellow agent Lauren is off this week, but we will all be back next Sunday as we discuss Avengers Endgame.
Is there a movie coming out?
As we told you before the podcast, you better go get your tickets.
Working on it.
Okay. We'll see about that next week. In the meantime, let's talk about The Runaways. The Runaways. Must have jets on the brain. We're going to talk about Doomsday today, the penultimate episode of the first season of Runaways. It aired on Hulu on January 2nd, 2018. So we're just a little shy of over a year from it when it came out. That's not too bad in Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. terms. Haley, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Jeremy Webb. He has 33 directing credits starting in 1997. Those credits include 2 episodes of Doctor Who, 15 of Merlin, 2 of Downton Abbey, 5 of Masters of Sex, 1 Legion, 2 Runaways, 3 Punisher, 2 of The Umbrella Academy, and 2 of Altered Carbon.
Wow, hitting up those Netflix shows, The Umbrella Academy and Altered Carbon.
It seems like once people get into the Netflix machine, they get a lot of work there.
Well, those are really good series, though, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Michelle, who wrote this episode?
Well, we have a team. First, Jihei Park, two writing credits starting in 2009, a short called Parallelogy and one episode of Runaways, and Kendall Rogers, one writing credit starting 2018, two episodes of Runaways.
Hmm.
And remember, this is based on the Marvel Comics by Brian K. Vaughan and Adrian Ofana.
Oh, thank God. Somebody who could say Adrian's name right. Took Michelle coming back on the cast to do it.
Exactly.
We all have skills.
Saying names correctly is not my one, but what shocked me is Lauren didn't even get it right last week. So I'm glad that somebody got it right because, Adrian, we do appreciate the Runaways. It's pretty cool property. Doomsday is the title for the episode. And as often, we equate the title to the main theme of the episode. And Haley is our resident explainer of the theme for the episode. So what do you have on Doomsday?
Well, as you might recall, this is not Julian McMahon's first appearance in the wider Marvel universe. His first appearance was as Dr. Doom. And because he had such a prominent role in the episode, in the events of the day of this episode, they called it Doomsday.
That's a pretty good reach right there. I'll disagree, but yeah, it's a pretty good explanation. All right, Michelle, why is Haley wrong?
Well, you know, Jonah has a big part in this episode, but the kids find out that down in the hole, what the drill is going to come in contact with is odd, it's dangerous, and it could cause major earthquakes and cause California to slide into the Pacific. And they want to stop that.
That would be bad, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like that this could be our last night on Earth.
So everybody bone.
That's basically what happens at the dance, which happens at a church or a bar mitzvah. What happened there?
So I think it was one of those like high-end school things where they book out a big ballroom in a hotel. And like another one of the hotel meeting rooms was set up for a wedding, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know. I mean,
but for whatever reason, wasn't locked.
I guess maybe I'm old school, literally. Most of our dances actually happen at our school. Does that not
Ours
happen?
Did too.
Okay.
It depends on the size of the school and what kind of budget they have.
Yeah, most of my kids' dances has happened in off-site locations, though. So. Mm. They haven't had the stuff in the gym. So I didn't know if it was just because I went to high school in a different area than my kids did or what happened. I don't know. But yeah, so that's what happened. They went to the dance and things got freaky. You know what? They did it. I was going to say classy, but I mean, how classy can you get with that? But I mean, it was believable. It was within the story. I've enjoyed the story so far. And I have not had fun with an episode, so I've really enjoyed this so far. We've got Pride, literally. We've got Pride. Yes, we do. We've got Pride. How about you? So we've got Pride that I don't know if it's Pride or whatever. This is the first time we've seen the drill on the site, and the drill literally looks something like out of SpaceX. So I think Victor Stein's supposed to be depicted as Elon Musk here, and you've got this giant hole, which I don't know if there's a bottom of it or not, but I don't know what's going, because does Jonah know that there is severe seismic criticality with this?
I don't think he cares. I think that's acceptable collateral damage for him to get what he needs.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, as we learned from Molly's video, I still love her reaction to finding a VH tape going, what is this? And it's very true. Her parents realized that whatever is down there is dangerous. It's not, you know, Jonah sold them on this renewable energy tech that they're going to find and develop. But her parents realized this is not, we got rock samples. They are weird. They seem to be almost organic. It's volatile. It's going to cause a lot of damage if, you know, it's mined, if this place is disturbed. And you have to realize Jonah has been setting this up for basically 20 years. He knows what's down there and he's using Pride to get it.
So you brought up a good point about the rocks. You know, the rocks were shown by the Hernandez as being really weird. And also the Yorks must have been trying to do something independently. And then they both came together and were like, okay, you know, we got to do something about this. But then the lab is blown up. And a couple of things for that. First of all, it's basically Molly's origin story, unless I completely misunderstood that. Like maybe she already had powers.
No, the powers came from those magic rocks.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. The rocks gave her powers. So there could be more of this down the road too, assuming that more rocks had been brought up right now. I don't know. The other thing is that Leslie was responsible for blowing up the lab. At least that's what we're led to believe. Mm-hmm.
And up to this point, we'd been led to believe that it was Tina because she had the burn on her hand, but she was at least aware of what had happened.
That's fair enough. I wasn't going to give Tina a total pass. I mean, even when it came down to who was telling who, she said, I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it, but it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. We also see in this particular episode, Julian McMahon, what's his character's name?
Jonah.
We saw him implicitly threaten her children when they were very, very young, which is probably why she toes the line so much.
Yeah, I would think that in all the years, in intervening years, she would have tried to find a way out of it. But then, of course, Amy got killed. So it was weird with Robert and Tina driving in the car like, oh, it's finally over and we can now just get on with our family. And Tina mentions, you know, except for our losses or something like that, referring to Amy. And they've lost a kid over this. I mean, that's big. I'm wondering how they just didn't go completely underground or leave or whatever with Nico after what that happened. It's kind of befuddling to me how they maintained their spot in all of this in the last couple of years.
Well, Tina created Wizard. It's very difficult for her to go away. She is the face of that company, just like Victor can't go underground because he's so well known.
Unless he goes to Europe for medical treatment.
And, well, his wife gave a press conference for it, so yeah. Go Janet. Janet's usefulness to the group right now is relegated to a press conference. Well, the teens, they get together. They actually coin their nickname, which they all then decide, no, we're not going to use. Dark. Yeah. I think it's going to come back, but...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The show's called The Runaways. They've got to give that name somehow.
Yeah, and at least they went through the motions of giving the reference to the 15 Runaways. So we've got that behind us, and if we move on with the name, then it is for them and not for the 15 that were killed before them. But they come together as a team. And at the end of the episode, it's the teens versus the parents. And that was an interesting standoff. And that's why I want to watch this episode right away. But unfortunately, we've got this little movie that we're talking about next week called Avengers Endgame. So I got to wait 2 weeks for the finale. This was horrible on the scheduling.
That's not true. Once you finish this podcast, you could watch it without worrying about, you know, spoiling it.
That's fair.
And then you could just rewatch it again right before we record next week.
I guess.
2 weeks from now.
If I have time. I have to edit it, though, first, so everybody else can hear it. I think that the teens, they've got a lot going on with coming together as a team. I mean, that is about the best that they've been together so far, is at the construction site. And, you know, Carolina's little trick of, oh, call my dad. Dad, Frank, then lets her in. Well, I don't understand that. So maybe that's going to be explained next episode. So Frank is with Jonah, and Frank lets the kids in. Wouldn't Jonah not want the kids in there?
So I think it's to maintain the illusion that Frank is on their side. So he's kind of the mole for Pride in that team.
Yes, he completely betrayed Carolina. She really thought he was the good one. She really didn't realize that he wanted power and he wanted a bigger role in the church, and that he was really ready to just sacrifice the trust that he had with her in order to get that, because Jonah tells him that you're going to have a bigger part in the church after this is done, more than just having magic gloves. And Frank values that more than anything right now.
Frank has no idea what the bigger picture is at this point either.
So the only thing I could think of, I have not seen the finale, and I know you guys have, but I have not. The only thing I could think of that Jonah would allow the kids into the dig site is that what he wanted to accomplish at the site had already been accomplished, and it was no threat to have the kids go in there anymore. That's the only thing that
I got the impression that he didn't think they could really do anything once they got in, because he knew that the rest of their parents were on the way and would get there very quickly.
Okay. It kind of makes sense, because even Carolina's light powers were news to everybody, including her mom. That was a pretty cool scene. I mean, when she lights up and when Chase has the fist guns on and Molly's already put the truck in the hole. I mean, it's like, well, these kids have some powers here. The only issue, though, would be the wand, where Nico gets the wand stolen from her back to her mom. That was unfortunate for them, but at least Nico knows that she has a trick to do in the future if she makes it through this, I guess.
But like, all the parents were freaked out because they didn't know what these kids were capable of. They had been completely in the dark, and then they see Molly's eyes glow, and they see Carolina light up. So they might be in over their heads.
I think it was at the point where Carolina lit up that everybody was like, oh crap, because that was the most visual sign of everything going on.
Jeffrey does like a big step back when Molly's eyes light up.
Oh yeah, that's right, he did. Oh, and Jeffrey's friend, Darius, I say friend in quotes, friend. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they brought him back, because the last we saw, he was running off like in episode 2 or 3, and we've not really seen him since. And we know that he's trying to monitor what's going on at the school site right now. And he's there. He's outside. I think that's what the kids are ultimately going to get out of there, is he's going to assist them getting out somehow or create some additional chaos or something there. Really looking forward to next episode and seeing what happens with the kids and Jonah and Darius. And I already know there's not only another season in the can out there for me to watch in the future, but there's a third season about to drop as well. So this story continues. I don't know how much resolution I'm going to get after next episode or not, but the way this ends, it very much is a binge sort of, I don't care how late it is. I don't care how early in the morning it is. I don't care how early I have to go to work. I'm watching this next episode. The only reason I didn't is I just didn't want to spoil myself for the next podcast. So, Michelle, what were your big takeaways for the episode?
Nico finds Amy's phone, is able to charge it, and sees the messages. He knows he's on his way. You need to get out. And you have that moment of Amy frantically trying to pack and get away, and then you see someone in her doorway.
That was all given the previous episode, though, with Amy in the doorway. We just got the phone from an unknown message this time, because it wasn't in her contacts. That's basically what we got. And then Robert was, that was weird. What was Robert doing in her bedroom? I mean, come on.
He's sleeping in there.
He's sleeping. He's not back in the marital bed.
Wait a minute. So Robert is, it's Amy's room that he's sleeping
in. Yes.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was weird because I thought it was Nico's room. Man, thank you for saving me another time in this whole thing.
Yep.
Anything else, Michelle?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Haley, you got any big takeaways that we haven't discussed already?
So we kind of alluded to it. There was some kissing and some other things happening at the dance. So our team is all recoupled. That could always lead to drama going forward. And then I think the real biggest thing was the end of this episode, the showdown between the parents and the kids. Like, that's what this whole season has been building to.
I got to the end of the episode and I was amazed that it was the end of the episode. Like, it didn't seem like it was a full episode. It seemed like it was like 15 minutes. So this episode really ran through everything pretty quickly, considering that there was a lot of lulls along the way. So well done, producers and writers. I commend you for fooling me on time dilation on this. I would, at this point in time, ask you ladies to speculate, but since you already seen everything, there's nothing to speculate about.
Yeah, but I don't really remember what happens next.
Okay.
It's been this whole season. It's like, I kind of remember what happened with the couples, and that was about it. I don't remember a lot of the details.
All right.
It's been a while.
So if you were writing episode 10, just off the top of your head now, what would you want to see?
A big fight.
Yeah.
And then I want to see what's in the hole.
Did the cement truck, did it actually hit bottom?
I have no idea.
I don't remember hearing it.
It's something.
Okay. It's not an endless hole. It doesn't go all the way to the other side of the earth.
No.
Which, that could lead to the Core movie. I mean, this could be the origins of the Core.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening.
Uh-huh. Sure. Okay.
Well, it'll be interesting because Victor's future machine has shown LA collapsing. So I'm wondering if we're actually going to see that or if the kids actually change something along the way. I don't know how rigid that future really is. So from a time perspective, I don't know what can change and what can't.
In my experience in television, with the exception of Dollhouse, I think I've said this before, anytime they show you the future, they give you a way to change it.
Because why show you the future otherwise?
Yeah, because then you're just telling us the end of the story.
We had that discussion on frequency on another podcast this past week. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to next week with Avengers Endgame. Really, I mean, gosh, I've been trying to watch the movies before Endgame, all like 23 of them, and I'm not getting there. I'm at Age of Ultron right now, which I believe is the 10th movie in, and that would leave me 13 more to try to get in the next 3 days. That's not happening on my schedule because I got to go to work. So it's just not happening. Haley, you also considered watching most of the movies, but were not able to do it, right?
Yeah, I had to go climb some mountains instead.
Yeah. Michelle, have you been watching some of the movies in and out?
Nope.
Okay. So we're all going in just with the Captain Marvel and the Ant-Man and the Wasp and Infinity War background over the last year.
Pretty I much. Might watch Infinity War, you know, like basically part one of the movie.
I'll probably do that Wednesday night because I'm going to see it Thursday for sure. I'm probably going to see it again on Saturday before we podcast, but I got to buy the tickets now because it's coming out that all the theaters are sold out here locally, which is unusual. That does not happen in my town, but I'm glad I got tickets.
There's so many theaters with so many showings.
I'm limited in the amount of theaters I have local. I mean, I could go to a nearby town and see it, but I just don't want to spend the time in the car. So I'll just catch it when I can. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to it. So the next 2 weeks. And then the next week, we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's like bang, bang, bang. 3 great weeks. I'm looking forward to some Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. over the next 3 weeks. What about you ladies?
Well, yes. Duh.
Okay. You're like, every week's that way. I don't know what you're talking about. Except for when we podcast Iron Fist Season 1. That was, no. All right, so that's what we're doing next time. In the meantime, let's get into some news.
Well, we have some news stories this week. First up is Captain Marvel passes another MCU movie at domestic box office. That's right, Captain Marvel is still it's in its final stages of its theatrical run, and it's passed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 at the domestic box office. Captain Marvel has earned over $394 million at the domestic box office. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 earned $389 million at the box office in 2017. This means Captain Marvel is now the 7th highest grossing MCU film ever, just below Captain America: Civil War at $408 million.
Into the top third. All right, I have a funny story. This past week, I was talking to somebody that is involved in a Star Wars podcast on another network, and they were trying to tell me that Solo, a Star Wars story, was middle of the pack for all the MCU movies. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So I went to Box Office Mojo, and I started looking at all of the MCU movies in relation to what Solo, a Star Wars story, brought down. Turns out Solo, the Star Wars story, only outperformed, I forget, it's either 3 or 4 of the movies, like Incredible Hulk, Thor, and
some of the older standalones.
Yeah, 1 or 2 others. And then after that, everything else, including Ant-Man.
I think people forget just how many Marvel movies there are at this point.
I think that might have been part of the issue, but I'm like, really? Middle of the pack? So they outperformed 12 Marvel movies? And then I was thinking, you know, back in the original, because I think he was mentioning Iron Man. Iron Man actually was a huge draw. The domestic box office was $384 million, I think. And that was a lot for a movie in 2008 that didn't have 23 movies to build up to it. So with Captain Marvel here doing, it looks like just over Iron Man in the domestic box office. That's a big score right there. So go MCU.
A little sad news. The Gifted has been canceled by Fox after 2 seasons. So we're not going to get a 3rd season for The Gifted. The family adventure series set in Marvel's X-Men universe comes from 20th Century Fox TV, which is now part of Disney. Because Fox no longer has ownership in the series, linear ratings play a bigger role in the broadcast network's renewal decisions, and the drama was a soft performer in linear ratings for Fox in its 2nd season, averaging about half of season 1. There is a chance for The Gifted to find a new home within the Disney family. The show is produced by Marvel Television, which currently has series on Disney-owned Freeform and Disney-controlled Hulu and Disney+. The Gifted did perform better online, so it being on Hulu would be great. I think that would be a nice home for it.
I think we might have talked about this last week as well, not the cancellation, but Gifted in general, that I could see them just letting The Gifted go because they're kind of letting that X-Men universe go to start whatever they're going to do with mutants next.
While it did not have a direct connection to the First Class verse, we'll just call it that, it did seem like they were somewhat connected.
No, they had explicitly stated that they were connected.
I never saw that on screen.
So they're in the future now, ahead of where the movies are. But this is the road that leads to Logan, the universe we saw in Logan.
Right. There just was never, I got all that. But there was never anything explicitly shown or stated on screen that said, this is where we're at, and that it connects to Logan and the First Class verse. I can assume that, but it's kind of like the Marvel Netflix series at this point, where yes, they talked about the greater MCU events, but they never actually connected. There was no character in between them or anything.
Well, if they do reboot the mutants and bring it into the MCU, I really hope they keep the woman who played Blink, because she was amazing as Blink. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, and then the girl or the woman that played, what's her name? Magneto's kid?
Polaris.
Yeah, Polaris was really good too. I thought so. I mean, that's what I thought. So yeah. I would like to see him. I have a question for you, Michelle. What does linear ratings mean?
It means the overnight and the DVR, like the Live Plus 3.
Okay. So not like where we get them online like months later. It's just like the actual TV ratings.
Yeah, exactly. And also in the key demo of 18 to 49, it was lower than last season. So it was all about the immediate ratings when it came to this decision.
Sorry, guys. It was my fault. I've been holding on to the episodes to watch them all at once.
I don't know. I have issues with the teen angst, which was a lot of the season 1. And what I'm hearing is a lot of other people don't like the teen angst when it comes to superheroes. So maybe that had something to do with it. Now, season 2, there's a lot less teen angst. I mean, it was a very minuscule part of the whole season. Season 2 was way better than season 1, in my opinion. And if they just ruined it through season 1 by playing that card, then I don't know, guys. I have to blame whoever put it together, whoever made that decision to have it be teen angst versus a bigger story.
And in my last piece of news, Chinese authorities threatened theaters with Avengers Endgame cancellation over rising ticket prices. So advance tickets have been a hot commodity in China, breaking the majority of pre-sale records in the market. The topic has become such a hot issue there, Chinese authorities are reportedly starting to crack down on price gouging practiced by cinemas. According to a new report from Beijing Youth Daily, theaters started tacking on massive surcharges to the tickets, inflating them to around 300 yuan, or $45 in value. The report says authorities have since started telling theaters they're allowed to add surcharges and service fees not exceeding 10% of the ticket's total value. Otherwise, they'll run the risk of being prohibited to show the Marvel Studios flick once it releases there on April 24th.
Wow. For a country that's not supposed to be a capitalist economy, they sure do their job of trying to get money in different places. Also, I don't know if you guys know this or not, podcasting is a huge business in China. Like, people pay for podcast episodes in China.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying too. Really? But I guess they've got their whole internet so clamped down that it's a good way to enable a gatekeeper on what episodes can be available or not, is you have to pay for them. And I'm like, that's totally not what the podcasting model is in the West, but I guess it works for them.
All right, guys, we're moving.
Go ahead. I'll see you.
Gonna get that sweet podcasting money.
$45 for an Endgame ticket. I had to include this story because it's like, wow, this is China. It's a huge market. I mean, this movie is going to, I don't know, how fast do we think it's going to reach a billion worldwide? Like a week?
No, 1 weekend worldwide.
I'm thinking the question is, when is it going to top 2 billion?
You think it can do it?
Yeah.
I do. I don't know when, and that's why I said that's what the question is, but when is the 2 billion mark going to be broached? Although it does, you know, it depends on how people come out of it the first weekend. Like, if people come out of it the first weekend, they're like, oh man, you haven't seen, you got to go see it versus,
you know, what? I'm going to put this out there. I think it might break a billion US.
Oh man. Have you seen the box office and seen what the number one domestic?
It was Star Wars 7, wasn't it? Or was it Avatar still?
I'm going to look right now because
I'm looking too.
I was not impressed at the domestic records.
Oh, Star Wars The Force Awakens, 936 million.
Oh, so you're thinking it can top that. But that was 2015. This is 4 years later. Wow. Black Panther is number three.
I'll put a quarter on it right now.
A quarter. You got it.
Endgame breaks $1 billion domestic.
Heard it here first.
Wow. Just so everybody knows, here's the top 10. Star Wars The Force Awakens at 936, Avatar at 760, so that's a big drop. Mm-hmm. Black Panther at 700, Avengers Infinity War, so the previous movie to this, 678. Titanic at number 5 at 659, Jurassic World at 652. Marvel's The Avengers at 623, Star Wars The Last Jedi at 620, Incredibles 2 at 608, and The Dark Knight at 535. Wow. And you think it's going to go 2 billion? Because that's a big jump between...
No, I think it's going to make a billion domestic.
Okay.
2 billion worldwide.
Fair, I misspoke.
Which other movies have done before.
Wow.
Worldwide. Avatar, $2.78 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Titanic, $2.18 billion, but that was through multiple runs. And then under that, Star Wars The Force Awakens at just over 2 billion. Avengers Infinity War, also just over 2 billion. And then after that, it drops a lot.
Okay, so the question really isn't, is it going to broach 2 billion? Because Infinity War went over 2 billion. It's more likely win and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
I could see people being more willing to repeat view this one than Infinity War, just because the end of Infinity War is such a downer and very much feels like the first half of a story.
So, Michelle, I got a question. Those $45 per ticket in China, does that include beer and popcorn and everything?
No.
Dang. I'm not going to watch the movie in China. All right. I know that this podcast will drop the day before it comes out, but if you want to give us your predictions on when Endgame will top $2 billion. That's fair game for the next podcast. So you can get in your comments to us and we'll talk about it next week. In the meantime, we have some feedback to talk about this week.
On Twitter, consultant Black Adam at Darstaver_222 retweeted the Russo brothers with their letter encouraging fans to not spoil Endgame for people. It says, remember, Thanos still demands your silence. Don't be the one who goes and sees the first viewing and then people are in line and then you just go out and then you ruin. Because I've heard people when, like, Empire Strikes Back came out, like, they would come out and some people would actually, like, spoil, like, you know, Darth Vader, Luke's father, blah, blah, blah.
Somebody might get the crap kicked out of them if they did that.
Yeah. Just be a nice person, a kind person, and just let people know if it's a good movie, if it's worth seeing more than one time in the theater. But keep your spoilers to yourself. Have a closed message group just for spoilers or something like that.
Yeah, we will be spoiler free in the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. channel on our Discord server for probably the first 2 weeks. And then we'll open it up for everybody. There is a spoilers channel. We'll have to have the discussion in the spoilers channel for the first 2 weeks. So do you guys have the backstory of why this letter came out?
Because the movie leaked.
Yeah. So there was a test showing. Somebody took cell phone camera of a large portion of the movie. I think it was about 15 minutes worth of it. And that started leaking out, which gave major spoilers for the movie. And I'm like, why? Nobody wants that at this point. Nobody does. And so they sent out this letter, which starts out with, this is it. This is the end of an unprecedented narrative mosaic spanning 11 years and 11 franchises. So that is what this letter starts out with. At Star Wars Celebration last weekend, I was in the Episode 9 trailer and panel in Wintrust Arena, at which time Kathleen Kennedy tried to say, and nobody questioned her during the panel, but I keep on bringing it up because it kind of irks me a little bit. She said during the panel that Episode 9 was unprecedented in the history of filmmaking. And I was sitting next to another podcaster that podcasts on Transformers. And we just looked at each other and we both mouthed to each other because everybody was silent. We were like, Marvel. And you could go and say Harry Potter. You can say James Bond or whatever, but 9 movies is not unprecedented in anymore. 24 movies. Now that's kind of unprecedented.
9 movies with a single story arc might be unprecedented.
Well, one could argue this is kind of a single story arc.
Not really. There is one big story arc, but most of the movies are covering their own stories.
No, we've had a lot of, I mean, the origins of the Infinity Stones are threaded throughout a lot of the movies. The origin stories of each member of the event, well, not each member of the Avengers, Black Widow, Hawkeye. You know, we get that. So I guess we can make the argument that there's been a story going on and building.
I would say that the most important story in each individual movie is not the story arc that is carrying through the entire series. Whereas Star Wars, like, if you couldn't just watch, you know, Episode 7 and get the whole story.
That's true.
Yeah, that's fair. But I still say she's wrong. Also, I wonder how much longer she's going to be employed by Disney.
Also, Star Wars, when did the first one come out? 77?
Yep.
That, I mean, as far as length of time to tell a single story, that's unprecedented.
Yeah, so the 40 years would be, I mean, you could say James Bond, but that really isn't a singular story throughout the entire franchise.
None of the movies really tie together.
Yeah. Well, I would say none of them, but not big chunks like 9 films, yeah. Anyway, yes, don't spoil the movie. And Russo Brothers also did a similar letter for the last movie, too. So that was not unprecedented, and glad to see it. They must have had it ready to go, and just glad they sent it out, and glad it was warmly received by the community, because it was retweeted and liked on Twitter. It was reposted and liked on Instagram on various different accounts, from their account, from the Marvel account, and from a lot of the actors' accounts. So his letter's circulated. So if you haven't seen the letter yet, it'll be in the show notes, but odds are, if you're listening to this podcast, you have seen it. Any other news for the week, Michelle?
Nope.
How about you, Haley? Ain't got any news?
Nope.
Okay. So with that, I'm just going to ask you guys a question, which should probably be asked to me. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your kids are? Thanks for listening to another episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thanks for subscribing to our show and being with us all these years since 2013. We really appreciate it.
Thank you to everyone that has gone through this long, dark hiatus with us and helping bring a little joy to the lack of our show.
We appreciate everyone who interacts with us on Discord and Twitter and voicemail and all the other ways. We really encourage you to interact with us because we really like it.
We do indeed. And that is going to wrap us up for this week. Just a couple of days. We have Endgame. See you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Wow. We might have to wait a little bit for Kitty to voice everything.
She has opinions. She would like to share them.
Opinions on Runaways? What's kind of bugging me, and I'll state this again on the show, so it's not like giving anything away or sparking anything, but the way this one ends, I'm like, I want to watch the next one now. Now.
Right now.
And I have to wait 2 weeks. Like, fuck.
Wait, what's next weekend?
Next weekend is the big one.
That's this little independent movie.
Oh, that's right.
I heard Robert Downey Jr. really slashed his fee to be in it.
Yeah. Just a little artsy thing. So my rewatch, I've gotten all the way, and I won't make it all the way through all 23 before Thursday, but my rewatch, I've gotten all the way up to Age of Ultron.
Nice.
I was watching that last night, or I had that on in the background while I was doing stuff, and like, yeah, I'm not gonna make it all the way. It's just no way at this point, unless I take a couple of days off of work, which actually not a bad idea, but that's just not gonna happen.
We talked about booking the theater at somebody's apartment complex and doing like a 2-day marathon.
Yeah, like this weekend.
Yeah, it would have had to be this weekend, but yeah. I was out of town hiking and I was like, y'all can do it if you want, but I won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm at a microphone, so you must come and join me.
Yeah.
No. Wow. No. Do they hear each other?
Mine's not meowing.
Oh, okay.
No, publicity. Here.
No, this one's always like, you're at a microphone, you can pet me now.
You're not moving, so you must want me to be near you.
Yeah.
Or you could say, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
I'm actually old enough to remember that. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. You know, that evolved into nothing good happens after, What was the How I Met Your Mother? Was it midnight or 2 a.m.? I think it was
2 a.m.
Just 2 a.m., yeah.
I think that's probably true. That's why the bars close at 2 in most places.
Yep.
Yeah. But then you got to get home.
Uber.
Yeah, Thursday's going to be fun. I'm probably going to take off Thursday afternoon because I just don't want to get stuck at work and then have to rush in for it. I mean, why? Just enjoy it. It's been a long 11 years. And even though phase 3 doesn't officially conclude now until after Spider-Man, I'm like, you know, whatever.
Yep.
That's news that came out today too, right? Or this week?
Yeah. I just saw it today.
Yeah. Where they said officially that phase 3 ends with Spider-Man.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to talk about that because Spider-Man's not supposed to be alive, but hey.
Spoilers.
Yeah. We've been spoiled on that the whole time, which is...
I was going to say, the release schedule spoiled that one.
Yeah, which was one of my big beefs with the end of Infinity War and not doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a year. And come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'll be interested, Haley, if you do watch The Gifted, I'd be interested in your take on it. We were talking about it back when we were podcasting on Defenders and Iron Fist, so I'd be interested on your take on it.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel is the 25th highest grossing movie of all time worldwide.
I'm not surprised. I'm wondering if it's for Captain Marvel specific or if it's like, okay, so this is the salad to your endgame meal, so to speak. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Woo. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2013 through 2019.